I need a lady's opinion, 'cause I'm not a lady like a lady is.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Woman's Planning Podcast. We're here with
Ray.
Cheryl.
I'm Alyssa, and we've got our awesome Gordon in the house. Want to say hey?
This is our Gordon.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
That sounds like a sitcom from the 70s. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Is
That's
it?
From the 90s.
It's from the 90s. Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Really?
It's
not the 90s.
Oh my God. It's
the 70s.
No way. It's the 90s.
Oh, it's Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter. Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper was definitely the 90s. Okay. It was a great sitcom.
Tell me about Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I literally did not know that was a thing. I'm like, what a good title for a sitcom.
Was he the guy next door?
He was a teacher or something.
Oh, yeah, he's the teacher.
It's on Hulu, so
I'm going to watch that after this.
Are you sure you're not talking about Mr. Carter?
100%. Yeah. Definitely.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
So last week I went and saw Wicked, the Broadway tour that was in town. And
yes.
Took Ben with me, Spock, and introducing him to all that was Wicked, and he was like, yeah, this is great. Everybody loves this, and this will be exciting. And we were surrounded by, literally surrounded by high school senior, like drama kids. And it was the most intense experience of our lives.
Drama kids.
They were having existential crisis. Like,
were they crying?
Left and right. Hysterically.
Yeah.
Like,
at Wicked?
Laughing.
Oh.
Abundantly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Crying like they had their hearts broken along with the along with Elphaba. Like, there's every single moment was pure torture. And then watching them in between, like, an intermission or afterwards, explain to the other people around them, like, their thoughts and feelings of, like,
the themes
and motives and objectives of each of the characters. Ben and I were like, no, that isn't a thing.
Teenagers.
Yeah. Right? And the things that they were getting from the relationships were hysterical. I was like, girl, in 10 years, this is going to be a different movie for you. Like, yeah, come on. And part of the reason I was like mortified was because I was like, oh, this was me. This was 100% me in high school.
Same.
Experiencing to the utmost moment of everything that I watched.
I was just going to say, we went to, when I was in theater, Hair Flip in high school, we went to New York on a class trip and we went and saw a bunch of plays on Broadway, and Wicked was one of them. Yeah. So we saw Wicked there, and we were just like, oh my God, Wicked, it's amazing. And then at my graduation, two of the girls from my class sang that song that's Because I Knew You or whatever. Like, I Have Been Changed for Good.
Yeah,
that song.
For Good. This is the song.
Yeah, and they like sang that. And everyone was just like, oh my God, Wicked.
I saw Cats.
Nice.
That's how old I am.
Cats is still running.
It's been around for a minute.
No, it's not.
Well, then it only recently got off because it's the longest running besides Phantom
on Broadway.
No, it was
like done for a minute. Did it come back?
Yeah, because I saw it a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. They'll do revivals.
Uh-huh.
But
it's
right.
It's so old, it's coming back.
It is the longest running musical, right?
Phantom, I think, is the longest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. Maybe it didn't stop. I thought it was like...
It's been on forever.
Retired itself.
Uh-uh.
This is now a podcast about musicals. So, Gordon, what do you need to say about
musical
this?
I've ever seen.
The topic
Gordon.
Is very different.
When I was in New York a year and a half ago, I saw Kinky Boots.
Kinky Boots is fantastic.
I love Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
I have not seen that. I have nothing
it's
to say
fun.
About that.
It is a movie, too. Oh.
And the movie is great.
Yeah.
You can have like Barbara Streisand in it.
No.
It seems like a Barbara Streisand kind of thing.
It's about...
It's got Michael from Lost.
Mm-hmm. It's about drag queens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like this guy starts making heels for drag queens because like they have to be big sizes. And so they can't find like women's shoes to fit them. So he like starts... Like his shoe company is like going out of business, and so he starts making like women's shoes for drag queens.
I had no idea.
It's good.
It's really
now
bad.
I know.
Yeah.
Any other banter we need to get out of the way?
I mean, we're the Woman's Planning Podcast, right? We explain a lot of things, but I have a question for our men that I need some serious explaining.
We all look at you,
and only I feel like only men will be able to explain this because we have no idea. So I was in Vegas last week with my sisters, and we went to a drag show. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And they're doing their, like, dance show. And half of them are doing this slam split thing where they like jump off a table and voguing. Like, yeah.
What?
That's but not they're voguing. Like slamming into the splits. Yeah, it's a voguing move. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, because you're tucking your penis between your legs, but when you're doing the splits and you are slamming your body on the ground, no.
Maybe they're wearing a cup?
No. And I don't know. Like, I mean, Gordon, maybe you're a drag queen and you can answer this in detail, but and maybe you already know, but I need to know from our male listeners or anyone who knows intimately how queens work, but what are you doing with your penis and specifically your balls when you're doing these voguing splits, like slam splits?
If you listen, tell us okay, more, Gordon. We immediately need to get a drag queen on the show to talk to because
I can arrange this.
Girl.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I guess, so what I'll say, by the way, those are called death drops.
Death drops. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and it's part of voguing.
Like, wait, and what? I thought Vogue was this.
It is. It is. That is a part of voguing.
And also the splits.
Like, well.
Okay. I'll send you a video later, but voguing is a style of dancing that it's based on poses from Vogue magazine.
I thought it was just the Madonna thing.
Just around, like, framing your face. Yeah. No, it's everything.
It's hardcore. So what I will say about death drops, and I'm going to send you this video, Cheryl, because they are so interesting to watch.
And intense.
It's intense.
We were shocked. And my
athleticism, like, to the max.
Pelvis hurt from just watching because I was thinking about where their balls were being slammed.
I think that they probably do it in such a way that they're protecting themselves, right?
Like, yeah, there's something.
Well, obviously, I just need to know what exactly, because it's...
I need to know.
I think it looks like they're slamming down, but like at the last second, they're probably kind of not catching themselves.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe their leg muscles are like so thick and strong that they're
not hitting... Yeah. Well, they're definitely bouncing off the ground, which to me just looks like it would make it even more horrifying.
2 inches... short, you know what I mean?
Sure,
to leave that like gap.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
because I need to see this video.
Some of that, you know, like if you've got stronger leg muscles or you're bigger, then maybe your crotch isn't fully hitting the ground like in the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm. Like the squish
part.
Let's
anyway, that's my question for the men's out there.
For Gordon.
Well,
Gordon, explain.
I've never done the splits, I don't think, or death drops, so I'm not an authority on this. But if you did land on your balls, then that would hurt a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm going off of, yeah. All of my knowledge says that looks painful.
I mean, I would, okay, so I don't know for sure, obviously.
That's why I'm asking the men.
Well, but it's not even that we want to ask men. We want to ask a queen.
Yeah.
Girl.
We should get a queen.
How are you doing that?
Should we have other queen questions?
Yeah. Totally. Okay. Let's do it. Let's do a whole episode. Cool. Okay. But for this episode, Gordon has a question for us. Gordon, what is your question?
Hey, Splainers. I wanted to know your thoughts on sex workers.
Okay.
In America and abroad. How do you feel about them morally and all that?
How do you feel about them?
Well, yeah, where is this curiosity coming from?
Just want to know our opinions.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, how do you feel?
Yeah, how do you? Yeah, I guess let's start there. How do you feel about them?
Start with me.
Yeah,
flip it.
Okay. I think I feel like the act itself. I don't really have an issue with, because, you know, your body, your choice. I think the real reason that sex workers shouldn't be a thing is because people inevitably are taken advantage of, and they are human trafficked around, you know, the country and the world. And so in a perfect world, then sure, you could have an exchange between two people, but it's not a perfect world. So I think we probably just can't have sex workers be a thing without others being exploited.
I'm going to say that I think there's a difference between women who are trafficked and sex workers, because sex workers to me are women who, you know, and people like historically were like whores, prostitutes, whatever, but sex workers is like the politically correct term. And I think that it's women who they're like fully in control and of their faculties, and they have given consent, and they're doing this as a job to make money, and like they enjoy it and they make money from it and they're not being taken advantage of. That to me is a sex worker. And like people who are, yes, there is a lot of human trafficking, which is horrible, but I don't know. I just want, like, I want to distinguish between a sex worker and someone who is trafficked, mm-hmm. because to me they're different. And to me, like, I think that sex work needs to be legal so that it can be regulated and monitored, and so that women don't get taken advantage of, because there are women sex workers out there who it's dangerous for them to practice their trade because it's illegal, and so they can't call the police. They don't have any like recourse if they're taken advantage of or if they're hurt by a client. And there was like a law recently that was passed. Can't remember exactly what it's called, but it was about like sexual content on the internet. Sex workers in general are not allowed to advertise their services on sites anymore. And so a lot of them have had to go back to the street to pick up clients. And that is extremely dangerous for women, not even women, like sex workers. Sex workers have like historically been a very taken advantage of population of people and have been victims of a lot of like crimes and serial killers because they're like
easy targets.
Yeah, they're easy targets because they're out on the street.
Sure.
They're trying to pick up clients. Anyway, I'm kind of on the side of like it should be legal and it should be regulated so that people are safe. And it's not just sex workers who are choosing that work, but it's like also so that people are not getting trafficked.
I guess I'm trying to understand because I agree that something should be safe if it's, you know, mm-hmm. a practice yeah. between two consenting adults, right? But I want to know, like, who I guess I need a sex worker inside this room so I can ask them questions. Like, why is this profession something you want to do? Why does it make you happy? Because for me, it seems like the more that it's talked about, the more normalized it is, and it's still dangerous, or people, they don't know who this client is, you know, and they don't know his intentions. I feel like it's still opening up for, I guess, who's, you know.
Who are these people?
Who are these people? Right. On both sides. Like,
you mean right. who are, like, the people who are soliciting sex workers and then who are sex workers?
Yeah, I want to know both sides to understand, because I'm coming from a very, I mean, I guess straight up ignorant, like,
naive
view. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Naive, because I obviously want to understand, but I'm very, like, none of this right. should exist. Like, find a consenting partner who then also not
totally.
Only is providing the service to you and you them, but shares a relationship with you, because there's so, right. it's so muddy in there.
But sometimes it's hard for people to find consenting partners.
Sure. And people that maybe will never, for one reason or another, have a physical, sexual relationship. Sure. I get that. Is it necessary? I don't know.
I just want to preface, I'm in the same boat, very naive. I don't know any sex workers. I also didn't do any research before I came here. So if I sound like a fucking idiot, that's exactly why. And Corrections Corner is probably soon to come. But one instance in which I came across someone who may or may not have ended up going down that road. So I have a lot of family back in New York, and a number of years ago, I went back to see my grandpa before he passed away, and we ended up hanging out with a family friend, and there was like a tropical storm that came through, and we ended up spending, me and my boyfriend at the time, ended up spending the weekend with this girl who picked us up from the airport, and was just so sweet. It was a family friend, so it wasn't like a stranger, but also not like my cousin or anything. So my cousin who's listening, not you. So she ended up telling us one night, like drunkenly over some beers, she was like, you know, my school debt is getting so crazy. You know, my mom has cancer. You know, I have younger siblings that can't provide, and we're going to lose our house soon.
Right.
And she was just like, I've been legitimately thinking about prostitution at the time. I mean, it was probably like 10 years ago. So
right.
it wasn't sex work. It was referred to as prostitution. And I, at the time, was horrified, you know, like I just sat there quietly listening to her, thinking like, oh my God, there's got to be other options. But like through her story, she was telling us, you know, she didn't have any other options. Soon her and her family were going to be homeless. And it was something, she wasn't in a relationship. She was like, I don't have a connection to sex. And it's an easy way for me to make a lot of money. Right. And my boyfriend at the time, was supportive, and I think probably in the right way, and like not like supportive, like I want to pay you to have my, like,
but
sex
you have
with me.
This ability.
Yeah, you have this advantage as a woman to have this opportunity to make money for you and your family and to keep afloat. And I don't know that I think I sat there quiet for a while, and she was like, well, what do you think? And, you know, I tried to be sensitive, but I was just like, I just don't know how you're going to feel
right.
eventually. Like mm-hmm. one day, like how are you going to feel about this? Like I came at it as like an emotional person, which I am very much so. Like one day, like I don't know how I would, as me, that's all I have on my plate is to like come at it from my perspective. Like how would I feel about that, you know, 10 years from now? But like I think 10 years ago, and I think about the guys that I had sex with, and I'm like, oh, gross, whatever. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with me. So I don't fucking know. Every person has their own need or want or desire to go into this profession. And I think everyone has their own case by case. And that's literally my only splash of experience with this situation. And I don't know if she ended up doing it. I don't know that I gave her the right platform to probably tell me about it, because maybe it came off judgmental, and I just meant think about it a little bit more. Maybe something will come about where you have the opportunity to make money in a different way, but to each their own. And I wish I had been more supportive in that moment. But yeah, to anyone who's out there who might think that anyone's doing it for fun, it's probably not.
Well, that's my question.
I think it depends on the person. Yeah. I think that probably what maybe was alarming to you about her story was not that she's like, yeah, you know, I enjoy doing this and I want to do it to make extra money. It was, I am desperate.
Right.
I have a student loan. And there's so many other like problems, societal problems that feed into that, right?
Right.
She had student loan debt because college is too much money.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother had cancer and they had hospital bills mm-hmm. because we don't have good health care here.
But let's say just like...
There's so many... There were just a lot of problems that were feeding into that. It was coming from a place of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's hard. And that's where people get this stereotype of a sex worker where it's like, oh, it's a woman, she's down on her luck, she's got three kids, and she's like hooked on crack cocaine. Mm-hmm. It's the only way she can make money. And
not
that's,
this case.
That, yeah. But that, like, there are some women that happens to, and that's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are also this other section of women who are, like, empowered, and they're in control of the situation, and they are using this as a source of income because they enjoy doing it.
Well, what percentage of the sex workers do you think are doing it for fun rather than out of desperation?
I don't know, because I don't think there's any kind of like database of sex workers, because it's
nobody
illegal and no one can say anything.
So that's my question. Like, you know, wherever you're at morally or ethically or like mm-hmm. emotionally attached, mm-hmm. like not even talking about how you would feel, because everyone's so individual, you know, totally. Like... You're saying, you know, I hate that I may even just spent one night with that one guy,
right.
You know, because I attached to that. Not discounting that, but thinking of a different part, you know, we have created this world where we are trying to say, like, my body is not for your pleasure. It's not for you. It creates pleasure, and I'm happy to be a part of that, you know, with you if that's where we decide to go. And then we say, mm-hmm. like, we're taking this back. We're in control. Yes, I'm going to charge you for this. You're welcome. Right. I'm in charge of this industry. But we're still catering to the fact that they see my body as something they get to pay for.
Right.
And so even if instead of prostitute and pimp, it's sex worker and I own my own business,
right.
I'm still providing a service to somebody by selling my body, which I'm trying to say is not for sale.
I mean, that's your message.
That's what I'm trying to battle in my head.
So you have a problem with it from
like
a feminist perspective.
From a feminist perspective, even if you're in charge, you're still selling something we told everyone is not for sale.
True.
So
I hear you. I'm on board with your message.
That's what I'm trying to like battle inside my head.
Money from that.
For sure.
Yeah. So, like, I think everyone is entitled to their own message.
Yeah.
I mean, whether I agree with it or not.
Right.
I'm not going to disagree with anybody's message about their own fucking body, because it's like, you do you. I'm never going to take anyone's choice away from them.
Right. Yeah.
Like, ever. And you whether I agree with it or not.
We had talked about this briefly, like, I don't know, months ago when yeah. you're like, we should talk about this. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about all this. You mentioned there was like a movie or something where, you know,
The one with Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt was helping somebody who was like disabled, you know, providing that sexual experience that he would never have. Like, he's not going to mm-hmm. have a consenting relationship, or we assume, right?
What's the know. Movie?
I'm going to look it up right now. IMDb. Yeah, it's this movie called The Sessions, and it has Helen Hunt and
love her, by the way. Tagline. Twister. Mm-hmm.
A man in an iron lung who wishes to lose his virginity contacts a professional sex surrogate with the help of his therapist and priest. So there are people who offer services to disabled folks in that way. And like that's honestly like a kind of a beautiful service to provide to people who wouldn't otherwise be able to get that, because it's like people look at people with disabilities and assume that they don't have sexual needs, but they do. There's actually a podcast that I follow on Twitter called Disability After Dark, and it is specifically a sex podcast for people with disabilities.
Huh.
There are a lot of different kinds of sex workers, right? There's, I think a lot of people think like when they think of a sex worker, they're like, oh, woman on the street corner. Yeah. She makes the money and then she goes and gives, and they're like giving blowjobs and cars and then goes, gives the money to her pimp. There are cam girls. They are who just like do stuff in front of like cameras and get paid online.
Mm-hmm.
There are dominatrixes. There are like fetish models. There are, and there are male sex workers.
Right.
There are escorts. Like there are so many different, there are sugar babies. There's so many different kind of like sex workers.
What's a sugar baby? I don't know.
So sugar daddy. You know what sugar daddy is? So a sugar baby is basically like a woman who is in a sugar daddy, sugar baby relationship. So she's kind of
accepting.
Yeah, she's like the young, hot sort of arm candy. And then she gets like the guy usually pays for her bills.
She's like an escort, except for.
Yeah.
And then there's like the high end escort.
There's actually an online dating site to match up sugar babies and sugar daddies. Mm. So interesting. Anyway, so my point being is that there's a lot of different kinds of sex work, and it's not this like degrading, like horrible thing that people always think about. However, there are women who are taken advantage of often. Right. There are people who do it because they're desperate, and there are people who are trafficked, and that is all horrible. And I don't... Well, I think that there's a lot, there's ways, things we can do in society to like fix that.
Yeah. Do you think legalization would?
I honestly do.
Minimize it at least?
They have legal sex work in other countries. So like part of your question was, how do we feel about it here? How do we feel about it in other countries?
Right.
Sex workers in other countries have much better protections and rights because it's legal there.
Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense, you know, because I guess initially I'm just talking about someone who's coming in being like, okay, I'm full sex, you know, but we're talking about like literally anything that you would get off on watching me, and I'm not even providing a sex act, right?
In like
sitting
on
cakes in a video.
I know someone who gets massages often and 9 times out of 10 gets a happy ending.
Yeah.
Happy ending. And it's not always like one place, it's like all places.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
What?
So is that sex work?
There used to be
just a
100% sex work.
There used to be a topless maid service. That's sex work in a way, right? It's like guys just pay you to come clean their house and be topless.
And that's I still
whatever.
You know, whether you're, you know, physically there and providing a physical action of sex, or you know, providing an act wherein I'm watching via the internet. Like the sitting on cakes and then, or like sending my panties in and you get off on that. I guess I still have a hard time like providing something in which you're getting off on it. And I mean, so it's
because it's not empowering to you.
And it isn't empowering to me.
Yeah.
Even though I am in charge of that moment.
And you're making a profit.
Right. And I'm making a profit.
Yeah.
I guess the money feels like instead of me doing this as an act for, if it is, you know, like for someone who needs it or something.
It's like the moral.
It's a transaction. Yeah. And I guess at first I was like, it's not moral, but everything that I'm saying is coming off from a moral base, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, like everyone should have their own perspective.
And I would want to protect that, you know?
Yeah.
So if making it legal allows that person to be like, no, you have no, this is me. Stop.
Well,
we're
it's just
done
like
here.
It's not just your perspective, but like your priorities. Like, what is number one for you?
Sure.
I mean, money might be below
And I get moral. It. Like, if I right. turned around and realized that I could make a 10 grand from just sending my panties in.
Well, I don't know. My, 10 grand. You know what? Panties,
$500 yeah, even it, right? for no action on my
exactly.
part.
Exactly.
Sounds uh-huh. exactly. amazing. But then to think, like, who am I sending this to? What person, like, I mean, those is people are on out the there. Other end?
There's a lot of perverts out there.
Where,
am I encouraging that behavior?
You're sex shaming but those people no, who have certain never. Fetishes,
right?
You're right.
Kink shame. Kink
yeah,
shame.
I mean, I kind of totally am. Like, I'm saying.
Yeah, where are they supposed to get these panties from?
Knock this off.
Yeah,
I don't know. Why are you doing that?
I would rather have them pay for a woman who is, with consent, right?
Wearing their panties.
Wearing
and
her panties
them.
And then knowledgeably sending them to a man to fill that need.
Yeah.
Versus some creepy guy snatching going into your house in. And
yeah.
stealing your panties.
Absolutely, yeah. I guess
so that's
just
where the
also,
empowerment piece of it comes in for me for sure. is it is consent based and they are doing it and it's and they are you know, like they're
but that's why it's okay. It's like you don't have consent to do that. You want to keep your panties and you want to wash them and wear them again and not give them to a creeper.
Yeah.
That's fine. Those are your panties.
And I get like by calling him a creeper, I'm like, well, how come we can't just send the creeper to therapy so he no longer
oh,
wants to sniff
like,
women's panty? But
if
I guess if
the
there's
panties,
nothing wrong
yeah.
with that,
no,
right.
I
mean,
yeah, I'll just get over it.
I mean, I think it might be a little weird if a dude only wants to have sex with prostitutes. I feel like that would be kind
well,
of strange.
I
like,
know.
No
well, maybe they don't want any relationship or any connection like that, and they want
to me. To me, it's about
that's a different
to me.
Idea.
It's more about how they view the woman.
Yeah,
if they're just like. A sex worker is a thing, and I just want to have sex with this thing and not look at her as a person, that's problematic. But I think that you can still pay for sex and still be a kind and like genuine
she's still a human.
Person. She's still a human, right? She's providing you a service. It's like anything, right? Like if you go to
a restaurant
and yeah. you treat your waiter like shit, you're a shitty person. But if you're kind to someone who is providing a service for you, then
yeah,
like
exactly.
it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And so men who are like, well, like fuck you, I'm like, yeah, you're just a thing. I don't give a shit. Like, but if there's a guy who's like, you know what, I don't really have time for a committed
yeah,
relationship
that
right
makes
now.
Sense, yeah.
And all right. But I need to get off, and I'm tired of jerking it. And like, I found this sex worker online, and like,
she seems nice.
She seems really cool, and I can pay her some money and have sex, and like, it's safe, and we're condoms are involved, and it's consensual, and like, done, great.
Yeah.
So again, like
I don't morally have a problem with
it. I also don't have morally have a problem with it. It's really you're saying that if it was legal, it'd have certain regulations, people wouldn't be taken advantage of. But that's already been proven to be false in just the world of stripping. Stripping is legal in all of the U.S. I think. To some extent, and there's
except
still people.
Except here, you can't have alcohol and nudity in the same space.
Yeah, but like the
but
stripping
there's
aspect.
Some weird, you know, rules. As far as that goes, but people are still human yeah. trafficked to these strip clubs. That still happens, and that's all yeah. regulated.
Oh, for sure.
So it's very difficult to have one without the other.
I'm morally confused as to why it's, but I also don't have understand all of the reasons why, you know, we all have different fetishes and what that does in our heads or anything like that. It's a very convoluted
yeah.
system for me that I just don't understand.
So when you think about like a dominatrix, right? Someone will pay a dominatrix to come and like, I don't know, I'm thinking of specifically in the term of a guy, but like to come like stomp on their balls. Like that's a thing that happens. And so you're looking at it like, okay, but like why does that guy want someone to stomp on his balls? Like what is wrong with him that he wants that?
I definitely want to make it clear that I'm not saying that if you have those desires that something's wrong with you. I don't understand them, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But I
feel like
I get frustrated and I guess defensive when there's transaction there that makes it again like what I brought up at the beginning, the system in which you're paying for something that I've already told you is not for sale. If we can work out something, a relationship,
yeah.
In which I provide that service and. You know,
right?
I don't know. That's not associated with money. But if it's anything, if I gave you concert tickets or you gave me concert tickets instead, it's still transactional.
Well, that's exactly like I
it's
think
it's the same thing. So I'm
contradicting
myself
now. Women or
men
or these sex workers are thinking of it.
Yeah.
In a
or we've been doing
situation.
This for so long. Like right. you've been desiring something for me that I've had to give you that now I'm like, oh, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to make you pay $10,000
for this. I don't think that's the case. Those are not the scenarios where like someone's like creeping on someone so long that they're like, all right, I'll do this for
her. Yeah, no, I'm just mean in general, the business, like we've taken over the business to almost say like, screw you guys. It's our business now.
Well, it's always, but that's the oldest business in the book. Like, I don't think it's like a new.
But women have never been in control. Yeah, not always. Women have had their own brothels for a long time, but it's.
There were a lot of madams, but also yeah. like madams back in the day didn't always treat the girls that were in their brothels very well.
Sure.
There was a lot of trafficking and underage girls and those kinds of things.
And I still watch SVU. There's a lot of circumstances where they were like,
yeah.
So I want to go.
A woman's in charge.
I want to go back to what you said, though, about like, it's you've communicated like this, my body's not for sale. This isn't transactional. I think that there are women in long-term committed relationships who treat their bodies as transactional.
I think you're right. Yeah,
where absolutely. They will say, "Fine, I'll have sex with you. Did you do the dishes? Did you do the thing that I asked you?"
As like a reward system.
Yeah. I think we all agree it's that probably system. Shouldn't be.
Oh no,
happening.
I'm saying it's problematic.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
But what I'm
yes.
saying is like. People don't frown on that. They joke about that as like, men, am I right? Like,
yeah, you're right.
Style.
You're right. You're totally right.
But then there are women out there who are called? Like, I don't care. Like, this does not bother me to have you paying for the privilege of accessing my body.
Right.
And they're getting something out of it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, it's not entirely wrong. Like, Alex does something like phenomenal for me. Like, brings me flowers one like, day and I'm like, oh, job. Girl.
You earned
I'm
it.
I'm like, oh, shit's gonna get real tonight.
Right.
You know?
Like, anyway.
I don't know. I mean,
that's
like,
more
I think
of
there's...
an act of love than really a transaction, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not like, you did the dishes, now you get a HJ.
Like, but doing the dishes...
Is there a tier system?
Sometimes
yeah,
is an act
HJ's
of love that deserves a reward
dishes
of love.
Dishes is just an HJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wash
fucking
the car.
Vacuum though. Mm. Ooh, that's a BJ.
No, you're right. You know, I'm glad they brought that up because, I mean, again, all of this is just making me think, you know, for something that I was just pretty, not hardlined about, but
like
I had no information about, you know.
I'm really interested in sex and the science of sex and sex work, and I listen to a lot of podcasts about it. So I know a lot, but I also am 100% not an expert on it. So I feel like we maybe should try to find a sex worker to come on and ask some questions.
So these are our initial impressions and feelings, and we're going to do a part two on this.
Yeah.
I think we should.
I want to go back, though, to your thing where you were saying that, like, we can't have – as long as sex work exists as an industry, there will never not be human trafficking because there aren't probably enough women who want to willingly go into it to fill the need. And so, like, there's this dark underbelly of society that's, like, going and out and taking advantage of people and finding young girls and, like, trafficking them. And that's horrifying, and I don't have an answer to how to fix that. And maybe – legalizing sex work isn't going to solve all problems because there's other things, right? Like we talked about how there's like healthcare and there's poverty and there's income inequality and there's other things that can drive people into this situation. And so I think there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed. But I also think that for the women who choose that line of work and who want to be safe about it and who are providing a service and it's consensual, it should be legalized. And I think that the problem is that like people look at it as a they are morally opposed to it. And so they're like, no, that should be illegal. But not everyone is morally opposed
to it.
Well,
it sounds like the person in this situation has a lot of privilege to be able to be like, yes, I'm my own person. I am safe and I can do these things and I can get paid for it and I enjoy it. Or at least I don't hate it. But I think probably the majority of people that are going into sex work, it's not their first choice.
That's fair.
I'm assuming,
There are probably women who are in different circumstances who didn't choose that life.
Even, like, in the pornography industry, like, the women are taken advantage of big time, you know. Intentionally get them hooked on drugs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, catch them when they're 18 and they don't know what they're doing.
Everyone out there, when you're looking for porn, source ethical porn. There are a lot of, like, sites out there where the people who are involved in the scenes are doing it consensually and they are aware that of what's going on. They're not being secretly videotaped. They're not being taken advantage of. Female positive porn that promotes like healthy attitudes about female sexuality. That's not like some twisted male perspective on it. Like there are, you can find that stuff. You can. So like, I just would encourage everyone to seek out ethical porn.
Yes.
that's, yeah, that's not, doesn't do the things that you just said.
I right. feel like this episode really could be broken down into like a five different, but oh my God, yeah, it'd so be much. Quite heavy.
Also just so. From just like a background of where I'm coming from, like a close friend, his mother and sister are both sex workers, though what they do is, I would say, isn't like self, like they're not doing it because they want to and it's empowering to them. It's very grotesque in the family and it's very rough. And the situations that they are continually in are very demeaning. And when you to say them, they definitely would need like help making sure they're not taken advantage yeah. of almost. And their brother, who's the friend of ours, is sees how the women in his life are being treated by these men, sees how they're getting paid and how they're making money. And the women, and so he views women as
yeah.
disgusting objects. And mm-hmm. we can't for the life of us convince him otherwise, because it's all he's ever seen, that we use our bodies mm-hmm. to take money from men. We use our bodies
to take money
oh, from God. Men to...
That's his opinion. That's,
yeah. Of course. It's right. his opinion and his circumstance. But their continued actions there only build that even more.
That and nurture.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's, yeah. it's
so I see that. That's also just like where I'm coming from in, yeah, you know, we build sense. This industry and whether or not we're on top of it or underneath it trying to fight like the crime of it all, we're supporting, we're normalizing the transaction around sex or around like physical interaction. But anyway, I'm learning and all of this has been really great information.
I think that's important though.
That's just like the background.
It's not all of it is pretty.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
I would agree. A small portion of it is really like.
But it's.
And for yeah. a few really white privileged people, it's really awesome.
No, I hear you. But like a good portion of it, I mean, quite frankly, is probably not good.
Can I bring up something that'll make you probably all mad?
Sure.
On the opposite end of it, if take out all the illegal activity, human trafficking, yeah, sure. everything's legal, it's good for everyone. I'm going to sound like an incel.
Do
it. At what point is it actually taking advantage of men?
Hmm.
Because men have a stronger drive to need to fulfill their sexual pleasures or whatever, and then now they're more likely to have to pay for it because it's become a more accepted thing.
Can you give me an example of like where a man is being taken? Are you talking about like an old man?
I was just playing the devil's
like,
advocate. Okay.
No, I'm just curious. Like, what can I argue against? Like, is it like the old, like Anna Nicole Smith kind of situation where?
No, I think like maybe some dystopian future where women no longer.
They dazzle you with their vagina. They and
no
like,
longer
pay me
enjoy having sex with
you
men.
You literally have to pay for
you
it.
You literally have to pay for it.
Yeah, like but we've you, taken the, over the
men,
world.
Yeah, all the
and
men.
The only way you can get it.
I think you're,
is if you pay my vagina with like slot money into my slot.
I think you're discounting that women also enjoy having sex. I don't know if there's ever going to be a world where all women are going to be like, we
pay me sex now.
Well, you know,
right,
in
my vagina money.
Even though I think that's what it feels like from, you know, this insult.
Incel, yeah.
You know, cultures that we're just angry and now you have to pay for
yeah.
it, period, because of all this, blah, blah, blah.
And I would say that, like, I think that men being taken advantage of, it depends on the man and their attitude about women, right? Mm-hmm. Because right. a man could be like, oh, I had a very enjoyable time. I, like, had sex or I got a happy ending massage or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I paid X number of dollars for it. That was great. Cool. And then they just go on, like, living their lives. Whereas, like, if a man, like... is kind of if he's not having any luck in dating because he has shitty attitudes about women or like mm-hmm. whatever it is mm-hmm. and so then he consistently has to go out and pay for sex because he can't get it any other way, and then that like resentment builds up of like I'm just like
yeah.
I'm not able to attract women to me, and so then I'm like losing quote all
power.
This money on this
right.
like no. I think it's their attitude about women and how they see that transaction
right.
And then becomes only transactional.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same about, like, my attitude towards physical interaction on any yeah. on any base, you know.
And there's, I mean, there are other ways, like, I was just thinking that of, there's all kinds of, like, innovations in like sex technology, and there's like,
are we about to have like a sex bot?
Yeah, sex robots.
Can we save this
coming.
For That's another? Happening. Did you? We can talk about didn't sex we robots like kind of have like a little bit of a conversation via chat or something about
oh,
the
probably.
Like Netflix? The no, was that not with you? Mm, I don't know that I talked to anybody. It was like a Netflix like original. It was like a 20-minute like documentary about like the real sex bots where you like pay like $40,000 for like a human slash bot.
Yeah, they like real dolls are a thing where they're like very like
that
real looking
whole other
sex
episode.
Dolls. Oh, yeah.
Uncanny Valley.
Anyway, the whole thing is so interesting.
There's
right. You know, we're going to delve into this topic a lot more. Hopefully hopefully my ignorance on the subject wasn't too rough.
No, I think
a lot of stuff I'm still learning about this.
Yeah.
I'm definitely open to that.
For sure. I think the takeaway is that we just have our opinions and we don't know, and we obviously don't have that experience. So if you're a sex worker or if you've done sex work in the past, we want to talk to you. So you should call in and we will ask you a whole bunch of questions.
Come set me straight.
Yeah. or if you have any follow-up questions or general questions, you can find us on social media. We're the Womansplaining Podcast at Gmail. We have a phone number that you can find in the show notes. You can call and leave us a voicemail.
Twitter.
Send us your...
Instagram.
Yep, all the things. Send us your questions. Oh, send us your mansplaining moments. We need more mansplaining moments. Yeah.
Thanks, Gordon.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
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 Bye.